The Bleacher Report app is your destination for sports. Right now, the NBA is heating up, March Madness is here, and MLB is almost back. Every day there's a new headline, a new highlight, a new moment you've got to see for yourself. That's why I stay locked in with the Bleacher Report app. For me, it's about staying connected to my sports. I can follow the teams I care about, get real-time scores, breaking news, and highlights all in one place. Download the Bleacher Report app today so you never miss a moment.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Sweet Lord. I feel like, you know what I feel like, Dylan? I feel like that kid back in high school who did not turn in the final exam essay, and so you're like scribbling it, you're trying to get it together right before it's due at the brackets. I've got to get the brackets done.
Yes, you do. You have 8 minutes.
No. You told me I had 40 minutes to get these brackets done.
Well, when I saw it 40 minutes ago, it was 40 minutes.
I wonder if our radio affiliates will understand if we take an immediate commercial break. So I can get my brackets done. Jeez, Alou.
You're going to put a 16th seed away.
No, and I don't want to give it to... I was going to ask Ms. Helen. I was going to outsource it to Ms. Helen, but she's like back in Hawaii.
Yeah, she is. She has Hawaii beating Arkansas first round.
I mean, you may as well put, like, I don't know, the school for the blind in there.
Yes. Yeah. You can put anything on there.
Not that we have anything against the blind.
They're just not in the March Madness tournament.
Well, no. You got to hit those...
That's what it is.
You got to hit those free throws. Yeah,
they're hard.
It's... Hard thing. Difficult. By the way, who was it last night? Was I watching this last night? I may have been imagining all of this. There was somebody trying to make a free throw. Was this Miami when the entire men's swimming team came, like, literally storming down, like, in front, you know, where the goalpost is? And then, you know, you've got the student section behind the goalpost, and you have the stairs, and the entire men's swim team came down in their Speedos.
Oh, wow.
And the poor guy missed the shot.
Ah. All that for nothing.
It was a little distracting. Or a lot distracting, you know, whatever floats your boat there. So it was a visual. So anyway, I've got Tennessee going all the way. By the way, this is my bracket. I've only got Tennessee filled out. This is how bad it is.
If all things are wrong,
at least
you have Tennessee.
All right. Golly. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and I hope you're doing your brackets, and I hope that you actually spent some time researching this. You know what it is? Cheryl, our sweet matronly, she is the grandma of the station. She's getting pretty ferocious. I've noticed. It was like, where she came in this morning, and it's like, good morning, Todd. How are you today? It's like, where are the brackets? Where's my money?
Yeah, she's on a mission today.
Like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
She's really serious about this.
She is. She came in with all the papers, which I haven't seen, like, a paper bracket. Like, now everybody does it online. But she came in with, like, seven, like, papers.
Online?
Yeah.
So I don't have to write it out?
No.
Oh, for crying out loud.
But for our sakes, for the office sake, if you want to participate here, the game does start in, like, 5 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get this done. By the way, we have a great lineup today. Kathy Lee Gifford is going to be with us today. It's going to be a great conversation. Also, our good buddy John Lott and Senator Tommy Tuberville. He and I made some headlines. We went a little viral earlier this week over our Newsmax interview. And many of you love that interview so much. We wanted to have him join us on the radio show for a longer form edition. As he warns America about the rise of Islam. But I want to start with what happened to our good friend, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the great governor of Arkansas. Is that the natural state? I think it's the natural state. Now, I'm just going to tell you right out of the gate, I'm pretty disturbed by all of this. So the governor was going to lunch at a fancy little, it's not really a fancy restaurant. You know how they had the French restaurants. What do you call them? The patisseries, if you will. And so anyway, she was going to one of these places in Little Rock, Arkansas. And it's a weird name. It's the Croissanteria. It's very strange. It's kind of a spoof off of the croissant. And I'll say something about that in just a moment. So the governor and a couple of her girlfriends, moms, they all decided, you know what, let's go have a nice lunch. It's a ladies' place, I guess. I don't want to offend any of the I don't want to offend anybody's sensibilities. But they're not serving cheeseburgers and, you know, nachos there, right? This is sort of like an upscale place that ladies would like to go. And I'm not trying to stereotype anybody. Ladies and gays, can we say that? Because there is a gay component here. How many people can I possibly trigger in the first 5 minutes of this program today? We are about to find out. So anyway, she goes there and she's got her security team and they're sitting down and they're ordering. I don't know what they ordered, but anyway, it was a lunch for moms just to get away from everything. And so the governor had her state police detail, and so they were served their meals, and then they paid for the meals, and then all hell broke loose. So the owner of the restaurant comes over to the security detail and says, she's got to go. I guess somebody figured out that was Governor Sarah Sanders. And the owner of the restaurant in Little Rock, Arkansas said, she's got to go, and she's got to go now. So then the staff gets involved, and they get all huffy. And I'm just going to tell you that a couple of them are actually members of the LGBT community. And one of the gay dudes went on his social media page and just ripped Governor Sanders. I'll get to that in just a moment. But the owner said that her staff felt threatened and uncomfortable because of the governor's politics. Now, the gay staffer wrote about this on his Facebook page, and it's sort of, you can read all of this at toddsterns.com, by the way. We've got the full story. We've got Governor Huckabee's statement. We've got the restaurant owner's statement. And I'd encourage you to go and read the story at toddsterns.com. So one of the gay staffers is just overjoyed because he feels emboldened because he got the governor kicked out of the restaurant. And here's what he wrote. No amount of evil you send our way can ever take our smiles away. I'm proud AF to work here. I'm proud AF to be gay. And I'm proud AF to be Arkansan. Mm-hmm. I'll teach you, you hetero. I just threw that in. He didn't write that. I was in the moment. So anyway, the restaurant releases a lengthy statement saying they were surprised and uncertain how best to respond when the governor showed up. Well, let me give you a clue, darling. What you do is say, welcome to the croissant joint. Here's a menu. What would you like to drink? One of those little fruity drinks with the little umbrella? Sure, we could do that for you. Welcome. I mean, that's what I would do. But that's not what happened. I want to read the statement here. This was provided to CBS News. And here's what the owner said. As business owners and members of this community, we recognize that any course of action carried consequences. Allowing her to stay risk being perceived as a lack of support for the community that makes up the majority of our team, as well as their families and friends and lovers. I just threw that in there. Conversely, asking her to leave could be viewed as denying service based on differing beliefs. Oh, I see. It was a quandary. Oh, she didn't know what to do. It was she was at a moral fork in the road. The owner decided, yeah, it's better not offending the gays, so we're going to make Huckabee go. And that's what happened. Ultimately, reading back from the statement, I'm going to read the long, it was just outrageously long. Ultimately, we made the decision to support our employees and guests who expressed they were uncomfortable. Now, as they were leaving, some guy starts screaming, "Get out of here!" And then somebody else like gives her the middle finger. This is like a fancy little French joint. The governor said Arkansans are known for their hospitality, and while the restaurant certainly does not meet that standard, my administration will focus on lifting Arkansans up, not tearing others down with discrimination and hate. Now, in 2018, Sarah Sanders was then working as the White House press secretary for our great president, Donald J. Trump. And she and her family, her entire family, they went out to a lovely little restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, called the Red Hen. Many of you may remember this story. And before they could even order, the owner of the restaurant came over and said, "You're not welcome here. You will not be served here." And the owner flat out told her it was because of her support of the Trump administration and working for Donald J. Trump. Now, I'm just curious to hear your thoughts here. How would you have handled this situation had you been at the restaurant? The governor didn't make a scene. You know, she complied. They all got up and they left. I just think every freedom-loving patriot in Little Rock, Arkansas, needs to spend the weekend manning picket lines outside the Croissanteria. That's what I think ought to happen. And I'm not one to boycott, but I'm getting a little bit sick and tired of this nonsense, and I hope you are too. Here's the thing I'm concerned about is what if somebody on that staff knows that you are a conservative? They could be spitting in your chicken salad. They could be, wiping their butts with the croissants and then putting it on the plate. We don't know what these people are capable of. I mean, honestly, I would say a good health inspection might be in order. Just because, and look, and hear me on this. Because of what happened to Sarah, this is why I do not eat out as much as I used to. I normally just prepare my meals at home because you just never know. And especially if you're a recognized person, you never know if that person is going to tamper with your food. This is why, for example, when we got the lip balm the other day, and I made sure that Dylan tried it first.
You're so kind for that.
Forgot to tell you about that, but I wanted to make sure that you got a good, make sure you
were
alive.
That's why my lips were so tingly.
When you said that your lips were tingly, I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. That's not a good sign. How are you feeling, by the way?
I'm feeling great.
All right, good.
Thank you.
All right, so again, I'm not one for boycotts, but we've got to start sending a message here. And as a fair warning, if you're wearing a MAGA hat or something that identifies you as a conservative and you go into a restaurant, you do risk the staff, the wait staff, the cooking crew tampering with your meals. It's happened far too many times. And again, I don't want to overly frighten people, but I'm just saying. So one final thought here, and my recommendation to the governor is next time you're going to a restaurant, you might want to go to a restaurant that serves biscuits instead of a croissant. And the reason why is that Southern hospitality is so much better than the French. So much better. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, what would you have done if you'd have been Governor Sarah Sanders? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Go to the website, read the story, give us a call. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody, Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900 and say Starnes. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right to the phone lines. Say hello to Jerry in Little Rock. Jerry, I have to imagine a lot of folks are really upset over there. Hello? Jerry. Yes, sir. You're on the air, Jerry. Let's get to it.
Oh, this is Jerry from Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee. Jerry, I am so sorry. All right, Jerry, what's going on?
Okay, yeah. One, if I was the restaurant manager, I would not have kicked her out specifically. But do they have the right to do that? Yeah, because look, Christian conservatives, maybe not yourself specifically, have said that, you know, if you don't want to sell a wedding cake to a gay couple or a gay person, you don't have to, and you should support the right of the baker to do that. Fine, okay, if they have that right, then this restaurant has the right to make that choice about Sarah Sanders. And Sarah Sanders should stand up to the people and say, you know what? This restaurant has the right to make that choice. If a baker has a right to not to sell a wedding cake to a gay couple, this restaurant has a right not to, to decide I'm not a patron there. It's that simple.
So Jerry, your philosophy is if you're going to force this restaurant to serve conservatives, then you're going to have to force the bakers to make the Christian bakers to make the gay wedding cakes.
No, well, it's about choice. I mean, if someone has a choice as a business owner to do that, you should stand by their choice, even if you don't like who's being discriminated against. Even if you support a person who's, you know, a Republican, well, people have the right to discriminate against someone because they're a Republican.
All right, Jerry, we got your thought. We're going to try to work in as many calls as we can here. Let's go to Steve in North Carolina. Steve?
Hi, Todd. My thought on that was if I was a patron in that restaurant when that happened, no matter where I was at in the process of ordering or eating, I would immediately stand up, walk up to Ms. Sarah and say, I stand with you. And I would say to the staff, if you don't want her business, you obviously don't want mine either. And I would walk out with Ms. Sanders.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the boycotts, but all I'm telling you is I'm getting a little sick and tired of this. And I will say that there is a difference between the bakers not baking a cake based upon their religious beliefs and their deeply held convictions, as opposed to a bunch of gay servers who got triggered because Sarah Sanders is a Republican. I think there's a big difference between the two.
I think so as well. I noticed that it's one thing as far as a Christian baker refusing to bake a cake for a homosexual couple, but what if I wanted to go to a halal butcher and ask for non-halal meat?
Well, it's a great question, or quite frankly, a rack of ribs. I don't think they would be as welcoming. Steve, I've got to run. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to remind you folks about pre-ordering my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want you to read them. This is going to be a must read for the Todd Starnes Show audience, but also for your teenagers, for your kids in college. I want you to get a copy, and you can pre-order one right now. Go online to Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, your favorite bookstore, and pre-order a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, the foreword written by Speaker Mike Johnson. So that's pretty cool. All right, hang tight. Kathy Lee Gifford coming up next.
Here's something most investors miss. It's not recklessness that costs people money. It's being late. Big shifts start quietly in policy meetings and regulatory rooms, long before they hit the headlines. Right now, the AI buildout is driving massive spending in energy, data, and infrastructure. There is a way to potentially benefit from that surge without betting on a single tech stock. To get the full breakdown, visit planwithoxford.com. Again, that's planwithoxford.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, broadcasting on 130 radio stations across this great nation. Great to have you with us today. Hope you got your brackets done. Dylan, I'm going with Tennessee. That's it. I'm putting all my money, putting all my marbles on Big Orange.
It's an interesting choice. I don't think you're right, but I guess we'll see. Right?
We'll see. We'll see.
You're surprised.
Never doubt the orange.
Yeah.
All right, I am very excited about our next guest. She has written an incredible new book, and we're gonna talk about the book in just a moment. Nero and Paul: How the Gospel of Grace Defeated the Ruler of Rome. Kathy Lee Gifford, a legendary TV host and just an incredible author and an all-around great lady. And Kathy Lee, I didn't realize this, but you're also a Tennessean.
Well, no, that belongs to people who were born and raised here, but I have a home here, yeah.
No,
and I love it.
Well,
I love the people here.
We count you as we'll count you as a Tennessean. It's a beautiful state, and
it's beautiful, yeah.
And
it's a culture of kindness here that I needed in my life after 40 some years in New York, and it's the culture of chaos now up there, and I saw it creeping up over the years, and I went, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. It's toxic to my soul, you know?
You know, I was watching your interview with Tommy Lahren just a few days ago and just talking about The View, and again, it's how, you know, it's one thing to be disagreeable, but man, these days people are just downright mean.
Yeah, I don't like the way it's going. I don't. I was on The View many, many, many times when Barbara Walter was a friend of mine. She's the reason I joined Regis. That's another story. But I don't want to get political. You know that. I'm here to sell my book.
Of course. Oh,
and,
of course.
Yeah. So let's leave some time for that. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it breaks my heart, really, because I know Whoopi. I know Joy. I have for years, and we always got along just fine. And, I think we need to agree to disagree and just treat people the way Jesus did, with kindness. It's kind of simple. It's the golden rule. Do you want to be screamed at? Do you want to be, mocked and criticized? It's just, gosh, what's wrong with people? No. Hurt people hurt people, it seems to me.
You know, it's a great point. And to put a bow on this, you know, what happened with Sarah Sanders going out for a nice afternoon lunch and being told to leave because the staff got triggered by her politics? And of course, Sarah's a very gracious lady and got up
She's
and left.
Doll. I love her, and I love her father. Yeah, and apparently, by all accounts, she's doing a phenomenal job in Arkansas with education, especially, and crime. And yeah, so, you know, I don't care what your politics are. I truly don't. But treat people with kindness and dignity. The people that are wrong in this thing are the people that got triggered. Oh, my gosh. You know, what are they, 4 years old? Come on. No, you treat every customer exactly the same.
But
it's wrong. That's all I can say. It's
but
wrong.
Kathy Lee, doesn't it go back? I mean, you look at all the problems that are facing the nation and really the world right now, and it all goes back to a central thing. It's that you've got to get back to the Bible. You've got to get back to the foundations of who we are as a nation, and that foundation is built on Christ. And I think a lot of people, quite frankly, I think we need a good old-fashioned revival in this nation.
Well, it seems to be happening with the children, with kids, because they found that the world's way is the wrong way. You know, I had a choice to make years ago when I asked Yeshua, Jesus, into my heart. It was, what am I going to go the world's way? Or I felt like I heard his voice and he said, Kathy, I love you. And I want to make something beautiful for of your life. Trust me. And I'll make something beautiful of your life. And he has. That doesn't mean I haven't had a lot of trials and tribulations like everybody else. But ultimately, the kingdom wins. And that's basically the point of our new book about, and it's the second in a series of ancient evil and living hope. Because people think that there's more evil in the world today, Todd. There is not. Evil has been there. It was in the Garden of Eden. And, but we hear more about it now because of cable news. We hear more about it because of we see it more in our phones, things I wish I'd never seen, but somebody happened to catch it on an iPhone, you know? So your senses get assaulted. But the evil that we talk about in our first book, Herod and Mary, and our second book now, Nero and Paul, we juxtapose the excruciating evil of these different leaders in their day, opposite somebody as pure as Mary was. God was present in her womb, even when Herod was doing his evil. And then with Nero didn't fiddle. While that's not true. You'll learn all kinds of things historically that are not accurate, because we're very, very careful to be historically not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but we didn't, anywhere we think something might not be, we don't know. There's just some question. We footnote it so people can make up their own minds. I'm a libertarian at heart in that sense. I want people to use their God-given gifts to figure things out.
I love that. Yeah. The name of the book, folks, Nero and Paul, How the Gospel of Grace Defeated the Ruler of Rome. It is available in bookstores all over the country. And, of course, you can also get it online. I want to ask you about that process, though, Kathy Lee, of writing and doing the research, because you're balancing this historical, you know, being historically accurate with a narrative that sort of brings, you know, first century Rome to life. How did you do that? How difficult was that?
Well, I had a co-writer. I needed it this time because I couldn't do all the research. He has several PhDs and written a ton of books, and Dr. Brian Litvin. And we've written both of these together because I didn't want to take, I don't have 5 years of my life to research these books. You know, it takes a year for me to write them. And I co-wrote them with Brian because he did all the heavy lifting. So I want to give him all the credit for that. He's a brilliant scholar. I have studied with brilliant scholars and with the greatest biblical scholars in the world. So people think when I talk about something, they think, oh, I didn't know you were this biblical scholar. No, I'm not. I'm not. And I never will be. I'm not. I've run out of time to become a scholar about anything except life, you know. And so our part was, how do we make it a thriller? That was my son's idea. My son got his master's degree at Oxford University in all this kind of stuff. And he's a brilliant, brilliant young man. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't know how to write thrillers. And he said, well, that's only because you have never done it before, Mom. You know, you can do it. And so we put our mutual acts together. And the first one was super successful. And this one is turning out to be even more so. We're really grateful to everybody. And I write cinematically. I'm a director. I'm a performer. I'm an entertainer. So I'm a visual person. And so we wanted to write it to take you back into Nero's world at the same time that Paul is in excruciating agony in one of his, rotting. I've been to the cell where he was held in captivity. It's still there in Rome. It's the same one apparently that at another time Peter was in. And so it is just, you can't even imagine years of suffering in this. We describe it, it'll make you sick. In our book, we're very honest about things like that. But the point of our book, and I know we're running out of time, is that what happens to people, we're all born babies, and babies come straight from heaven. We're perfect when we come out of the mother's womb. We just are. We came straight from heaven. Yeah. I believe that with all my heart. And then the world, you know, creeps in on our lives. And then we make different decisions about it. What are we going to do? Herod and Nero in the same, they had this lust for power. Look all over the world today, Todd. We see a lust for power and then a lust to keep it once we get it. And what these Caesars did, because they weren't governed by any other authority than themselves, they were beyond ruthless. They were beyond bestial. They were beyond evil. And we go into all the depth of that. Our story, well, I'm not going to give it away. We don't have time, but unbelievable. And none of their stories end up right or well. None of them have a good ending.
Kathy Lee, before you're right. Our time is quickly, rapidly expiring here. But I do want to, I want our listeners to understand here that even though this is a book about Nero and Paul, but the issues they were facing in their own lives are issues that all of us are facing today. And I know you cover things like persecution and being resilient and faith. And how that resonates in today's world.
Well, nobody was more persistent than Paul once he became Paul after he was Saul, because he said, I'm the chief of sinners, because he had been murdering. He thought in a righteous way, he had a zeal for power too. Same thing, but a different empire, the empire of the Jews in Israel at the time. And he wanted to be in the Sanhedrin. He wanted to be in the new Caiaphas, the high priest. He had the same lust for power. But he thought it was for God, but he didn't know that he was killing God's children, God's followers. Jesus's followers at that time were called people of the way. He was the way. And Saul of Tarsus had this zeal to kill those people because he didn't think they were righteous until he found out that Jesus of Nazareth happened to be the Messiah he claimed to believe in. Who was coming eventually. He didn't know he had already come. And so then his life changes. And you see the juxtaposition of how both of them then went about their lives. Nero's known to this day, but not as well known as Paul, and his letters are all over the world for billions of people.
It's really an incredible story. And I was not familiar with the story of Nero and Paul. And this is such an exciting book. Folks, you got to get a copy of it, and it is going to be one of those impactful reads. And Kathy Lee, I also want to give you a plug for your first book, the first of this series, and tell us the name of that so folks can get a copy of that as well.
Yeah, Herod and Mary. And these are dense historical books, so I did the audio on both of them, and people are loving the audios. They take me 4 days to record. Because I'm an actress at heart, too. Started out doing that before anything else. So if it seems a little dense and heavy for you, you can get the audio version, and I do all the heavy lifting for you on those.
I got to tell you, I've written not as many books as you, but they've asked me to do the audio version, and I thought, you know, as a talk radio host, piece of cake, no problem. I got to tell you, Kathy Lee, that's one of the hardest things to do is to do the audio narration. At least it was for me.
Yes, I enjoy it when it's a children's book that I'm doing the audio version.
Right.
These things are hard.
I
work super hard to get them right. You know, pronounce things properly, say the name of the places properly. I am a perfectionist that way. I'll get things wrong once in a while, but it's not because I didn't try, you know?
Well, Kathy Lee, thank you for coming on the show, and we'd love to get you back on down the road. Congratulations on this great, very impactful new book, Nero and Paul, How the Gospel of Grace Defeated the Ruler of Rome. Thank you, Kathy Lee.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
All right. And folks, you'll be able to watch Kathy Lee tonight. She'll be my guest on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax a little bit later on this evening. Oh, that was a lot of fun. She is... Seriously, though, just an incredible author, an incredible person, and we're glad that she's down here in the great state of Tennessee. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Gosh, let me give you an update. Field of Greens, part of the regimen that I'm using to chunk off a bunch of weight before summertime. And I got to tell you, Field of Greens is something that you need to check out. This is not for, if you're just looking to lose a pound or two, this is not for you. But if you're looking to lose, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds, you need to check out Field of Greens. And the reason why is they've been able to determine that one change, one health change that will help you lose weight. And Field of Greens was designed with that in mind. Every fruit and vegetable that the doctors select support your cells, your heart, lung, kidneys, and healthy weight. In fact, there's a university study they did, and people who only added Field of Greens actually saw measurable improvements in key health markers. And that's why Field of Greens promises your doctor will notice your improved health, or get this, you're going to get your money back. I mean, that's a pretty good deal right there. So I want you to go check them out, fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. You're going to get 20% off. You'll be able to read the university study. Promo code STARNS gets you that 20% off, fieldofgreens.com, promo code STARNS. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code STARNS.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You know, Todd, my suggestion to Sarah Huckabee would be they should pull a Tyler Perry or Perry and all dress up like Madea and various dresses and whatever, and then that way nobody would recognize them, and the staff would relate to that, and their food would be safe. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
All right. Well, thank you for that. That's Mark from Florida leaving us a shout-out on our app. By the way, you can do that going to ToddStarns.com, and all you have to do is download our free app. You'll get 24 hours of conservative talk radio. You'll be able to listen to the Todd Stern Show, and you'll also be able to, what else can you do? You can send us a shout out. I'm trying to multitask here, Dylan, and I'm not having a very good effort at it.
Are you watching the games right now during your show?
No, I'm not okay. Doing that.
Me either.
Oh, I did let them. I moved BYU through.
Okay. That's smart.
Yeah, the Mormons.
You can't really be doing any more of your bracket, though. I hate to tell you this. The games have already started, so anything that you do right now doesn't really count.
So if Tennessee doesn't win, yeah. I'm done for.
Yeah, you're completely out.
Oh, man. That's all terrible. Right. Coming up, we're going to tell the story of Afro Man. Dylan, this may be my favorite story of all time.
I came in today not knowing who Afro Man was, and now he's probably my favorite person of all time.
So coming up, we're gonna tell you the story of Afro Man and why this guy is a great American hero. And man, does that guy have a fro. I mean, he kind of reminds me of Cedric the Entertainer.
I don't know who that is.
Have you not seen Barbershop?
No.
Oh,
how old is this show?
Barbershop, it was like in the early 2000s, I think.
Oh, no.
That's
terrible.
Not too bad.
I'll have to watch it then.
So we've got Afro Man, and then a NASCAR driver has been suspended indefinitely. I guess there's a stream. He was caught on, a hot mic, or, you know, they were streaming. He and a bunch of the buddies, and they were streaming, and they made the guy talk like a gay person. And I don't know what that means, but the allegation is that he talked like a gay person. And he has now been suspended indefinitely because of homophobia. We'll get to that story a little bit later on as well. Also, Senator Tommy Tuberville is going to join us. Joe Kent has officially made his debut on the Tucker Carlson Show. We're going to play some clips from that as well coming up in the next hour. You know, what's really interesting about Joe Kent, it turns out that he was under an FBI investigation, got wind of the investigation, and immediately tendered his resignation. So there's a little bit more. Actually, there's a whole lot more to this than meets the eye. But the issue here, And I know Megyn Kelly and all these others are out there saying, well, if the feds arrest Joe Kent and Tucker Carlson, then it's on. It's war. The issue for me is very simple. You either believe that Donald Trump is telling the truth, or you believe that Tucker Carlson and Joe Kent are telling the truth. It can't be both. It's one or the other. And all I can tell you is that Donald Trump has been honest with the American people from day one. And I appreciate that. My allegiance is to the United States of America and our commander in chief. And that person is Donald J. Trump. But again, we're going to play some of that audio. We'll let you decide for yourself. All right. 901-260-5926 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I like that guy, and his stock certainly appears to be rising within Trump world. J.D. Vance, not so much right now. Not so much right now. But Marco Rubio said something the other day that really hit home for me when it came to this conversation, this debate that's being had about Islam. Cut 13.
Ultimately, all radical Islamic movements in the world identify the West writ large, but the United States in particular, as the greatest evil on the earth. And every chance to have the notion that somehow radical Islam would be comfortable with simply controlling some province in Iraq or Syria is just not borne out by history. Radical Islam has shown that their desire is not simply to occupy one part of the world and be happy with their own little caliphate. They want to expand. It's revolutionary in its nature. It seeks to expand and control more territories and more people. And radical Islam has designs openly on the West, on the United States, on Europe. We've seen that progress there as well. And they are prepared to conduct acts of terrorism, in the case of Iran, nation-state actions, assassinations, murders, you name it, whatever it takes for them to gain their influence and ultimately their domination of different cultures and societies. That's a clear and imminent threat to the world and to the broader West, but especially to the United States, who they identify as the chief source of evil on the planet. Okay, the reason why they hate the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the leadership of the UAE, of Bahrain, is because they've allowed the United States to partner with them. That's why they hate them. They consider them infidels for it. They hate Israel. But they also hate America. And they hate anywhere in the world that we have influence, they seek to attack it, including here in the homeland. If you look at the domestic terrorists, at the attacks that have happened here domestically, the overwhelming majority of them have been inspired by radical Islamic viewpoints. And that includes the shooting in the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida. That includes the Saudi pilot in Pensacola, my home state, two attacks.
Well, I'm very interested to hear what my next guest has to say about that. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He served as the senior advisor for research and stats in the Office of Justice Programs and the Office of Legal Policy for the Justice Department back in 2020 and 2021. And he has a great piece up on Real Clear Politics, the terror threat that Americans aren't supposed to discuss. John Lott joins us. Dr. Lott, always good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us today.
It's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
So you just heard the Secretary of State there sort of lay all of that out. And I know a number of members of Congress are very alarmed at this, what they consider to be a threat to the United States. What say you?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the media discussion on this makes the mistake of just looking at the percent of attacks by Muslims, for example, but doesn't adjust for their share of the population. we collect data regularly on mass public shootings, so we looked at that, have very detailed data from 1998 through now on it. And what you find is that Muslims greatly disproportionately compared to their share of the population are engaged in mass public shootings. In fact, it's a ratio of about 18 times their share of the population. You know, it's not most of the cases or even a huge percentage of the cases, but you have to adjust for their share of the population. And I'm sure without thinking about it, people are familiar with a lot of these cases from the Fort Hood shooting with the major who was in connection with ISIS all the way up to the San Bernardino attack in California. You know, you've had eight of these mass public shootings that have occurred over that period of time that involved Muslims explicitly doing it. Instead, you know, the Biden administration goes and focuses on things that are not as common, you know, so-called right-wing, white supremacists. And, you know, it's just been a misallocation of resources.
And now you have folks like Tucker Carlson coming out and saying, oh, Islam does not pose a threat of violence in the United States. Where, and other social media influencers on what would be considered the conservative side of the aisle, where are they getting all of this, you know, their information from?
I have no clue. I mean, Tucker Carlson's made many of those statements. Usually it's he sarcastically just dismisses people. Look, just the first 2 weeks of March, we've had a number of cases from the attack in Austin, Texas, to the bombs that were thrown in New York City, to the Temple Israel attack in Michigan, to the Old Dominion University attack in Virginia. Where, you know, the guy in Austin was wearing a T-shirt saying property of Allah, and a couple of the other ones were yelling Allah Akbar when they were doing the attacks. The guy with the Temple Israel, his brother apparently was a captain in Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so, you know, obviously there are connections that are there. But what we tried to do in looking at this was say, okay, well, a lot of this recent stuff is due to, obviously, in response to the war in Iran. So we wanted to look at an earlier period of time before that became an issue. So we looked at all the data from 1998 through 2025. And, of course, there are other types of attacks. Besides that, you have the truck that was driven through the crowd of people in New Orleans last year, which 14 people were killed and something like 47 people were injured. The data has been put together very clearly with all sorts of information on the background for all the mass public shooters. So that was an easy thing to go and look at.
And again, when you go back, and that is a significant amount of time, you're able to see patterns certainly develop. And according to your article, I want to read this, that makes Middle Easterners the most disproportionate ethnic or racial group involved in mass public shootings during this period. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised by this, but it's really troubling that the administration, I have to imagine they've got access to these numbers, the previous administration, the Democrats, and yet they completely ignored that and try to cast the blame on a group that was probably not as dangerous.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we can break it down different ways. We can look at their actual religious affiliation. We can look at their ethnic affiliation. You know, as you say, so you can look to see whether they're Muslims. You can also see whether they're from the Middle East origin. And, you know, you look at the attacks in March that we've had, the four that we just went through, all those individuals had become naturalized U.S. citizens. So, you know, they were not born originally in the United States. They were from Middle Eastern Muslim countries to begin with. But, look, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is the media and the Biden administration put so much emphasis on right-wing white supremacists. If you look at just simple political views, the vast majority of these attackers are non-political. You just have individuals who are suicidal. You have about 7% of the attacks involve somebody who's either anti-immigrant, racist of some type, or white supremacist. But what's missed in the media coverage, because they basically take anybody who's anti-immigrant or white supremacist as a right-winger. And if you actually go and read the diaries and manifestos, what you find is that most of those individuals are environmentalists. They don't like minorities because they're upset about people having children, and they believe that minorities are having a disproportionate number of children. And so, I don't know, maybe I live a very isolated life and don't talk to many conservatives. You may know more than I do, but I'm not sure I know too many conservatives that are upset about people having children, that that's somehow damaging the environment. And it's more than that. You read things like the El Paso Walmart shooter or the Buffalo mass murderer. Those individuals classify themselves as environmental extremists. They call themselves socialists. They talked about their ideal form of government as being communist China. And so, I don't know, maybe there are a lot of conservatives out there who think that communist China is kind of the ideal form of government for people to have. But, you know, my guess is, if you were going to go look at politicians who are most concerned about people having kids, it's going to be more likely to be somebody like AOC or Biden than it's going to be any conservative politician that you can name. Mm.
Well, it's a great point. And again, folks, I want you to read Dr. John Lott's piece in Real Clear Politics, The Terror Threat Americans Aren't Supposed to Discuss. And he comes armed with stats. And I think those are so very important, especially when you talk about winning the argument. Dr. Lott, we're going to have to leave it there, but congratulations. A great piece you wrote. We sure do appreciate you joining us on the show today.
That's great talking to you. Thanks very much.
All right. There you have it, everybody. Dr. John Lott. And again, the facts, ladies and gentlemen, are that Middle Easterners are more likely to commit acts of terror in the United States more than any other people group. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to get to some of this audio. Joe Kent was on Tucker Carlson's program. And by the way, this was all planned out. It was all planned. It was all planned in advance. This did not just happen randomly that Joe resigned and then immediately showed up on the Tucker Carlson show. So he's doing all these, and we've got a couple of clips, but this one just really, I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. Joe Kent revealing the last thing Charlie Kirk said to him. Take a listen.
And then, you know, Charlie Kirk is killed publicly in a very horrific way, and we're not really even allowed to look into that at all. And Charlie Kirk was one of President Trump's closest advisors, and he also advocated heavily against a war with Iran. He was in the Oval Office in the lead up to the 12-day war. I wasn't particularly close with Charlie. He was very gracious to me when I was running for Congress, very, very supportive. So we knew each other. And the last time I saw Charlie Kirk on this earth was in June in the West Wing, in the stairway. And I said hi to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he said very loudly, and it's a small, you've been in the West Wing, it's small, it's a tight space. And he said, Joe, stop us from getting into a war with Iran, very loudly.
He was single-minded.
And he walked off, and he went, I believe, into the Oval. So when one of President Trump's closest advisors, who is vocally advocating for us to not go to war with Iran and for us to rethink at least our relationship with the Israelis, and then he's suddenly publicly assassinated, and we're not allowed to ask any questions about that, it's a data point. It's a data point that we need to look into.
What do you mean when you say we're not allowed to ask any questions about that?
We've been told that this individual, Robinson, is a lone gunman, and maybe he is. But the investigation that I was a part of, the National Counterterrorism Center was a part of, we were stopped from continuing to investigate. And the FBI will say that, they stopped that because they wanted to have turn everything over to the Utah State authorities. Everything's going to trial. It's very, very sensitive. But there was still a lot for us to look into that I can't really get into, but there was still linkage for us to investigate that we needed to run down. And I'm not making any conclusions. I'm not saying
I don't think you
because,
are.
You know, because of this, this happened. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's unanswered questions. We know the pressure because of the text messages that have been made public, that Charlie was under a lot of pressure from a lot of pro-Israel donors. And again, we know Charlie was advocating to President Trump against this war with Iran.
All right. So a little bit to unravel here. Again, how did this guy get a job inside the White House is what I want to know. First of all, he was a Democrat. He switched to the Democrat Party in 2019. This is from the reporting of Sarah Fields. He voted for Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary, and he switched to the Republican Party in 2021. So the guy, it seems to me that he does come across as being an opportunist. And are we really supposed to believe that the last words Charlie uttered to this guy were, "We've got to stop the war in Iran," when this guy is on the record supporting war against Iran? And there was also a rather there was an implication there that Israel was somehow involved in Charlie Kirk's death. So look, here's the deal. Bottom line. You're either going to believe Tucker Carlson and Joe Kent, or you're going to believe Donald Trump. That both of them are saying polar opposite things. So the issue now is, who do you believe? All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, here's the headline from NBC News. NASCAR suspends driver Daniel Dye after he used a gay voice on live stream. He has since apologized, saying, "I chose my words poorly, and I understand why it upset people." So all of this was happening as they were doing a live stream. Let's play that live stream there, Dylan.
I don't know what he raised or anything. We did some, like, St. Pete promo stuff, and he was at it, and I thought he was one of, like, the Indy Next guys or, like, a Miata guy or something. I really didn't know.
Sorry, Emma. He plays for the other team, I think.
And I was like, so what? Do y'all race any ovals? And he was, like, distraught that I asked him that question. Like, yeah, we race Nashville and Iowa. I'm like, okay. I didn't know Miata's much in Nashville.
And he's like, "Why don't you eat your food?"
He's like, "Oh my gosh, yes, we raced Indianapolis too. Love Indianapolis."
Oh, that's it.
And okay. Roger Penske.
So that's the Roger. Gay voice. All right, we're good. That's the gay voice, right? So that's what got the guy in trouble. He's like been suspended indefinitely.
Interesting
for that.
I guess he's mocking him.
David Malukas is the guy they're mocking.
Yeah. So that gets you suspended for the rest of the season?
See, the problem is NASCAR's gone completely woke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they have.
So my question is, okay, are they going to suspend somebody for, I don't know, mocking a redneck?
Right.
Would they hold that them to the same
standard?
Where's
the line?
But apparently David Malukas is not gay. He's Lithuanian. So maybe that's how Lithuanians talk. I don't know.
Maybe.
I know. I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, what was he talking about here? Blow it out your tailpipe, boys. Oh, you make me want to torque your engine. Vroom, vroom. Now, that I could see as being, I don't know, maybe offensive, I guess, but to definitely suspend the guy. Jeez, Aloo. NASCAR's a little sensitive these days. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Honored to have you with us today. Senator Tommy Tuberville coming up. By the way, just got a note. Monday, Congressman Jim Jordan wants to drop by the show, so we'll look forward to that conversation. We're sort of like becoming like the big stop everybody's got to make as we head down the campaign trail. Want to welcome in our great friend, Republican strategist from right here in Memphis, Tennessee, Luke Symbol. Luke, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, Todd, except you had me crying laughing in that last segment. That was pretty good.
It's insane. I mean, this is, and by the way, we knew NASCAR was going woke back when Phil Robertson, the late, great Phil Robertson, was asked to pray, and they got upset because he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ.
They are going so woke, and it's yet another example of an institution not understanding who their base is.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, let's get real. You know, it's like, you know, it is a certain demographic watches NASCAR, mm-hmm. and the fact that you're going after that demographic now is just, it's just absurd. Just yep. absurd. By the way, President Trump coming to Memphis on Monday.
Huge news, touting the massive success of the Memphis Safe Task Force here in Memphis, that we have major crime down 50% across the board. Some of these violent crimes down 70%. Because of President Trump and others who worked together to get this Memphis Safe Task Force here with the National Guard, FBI, all the alphabet soup of agencies, it's like a new city. It's a new day in Memphis, and it's really encouraging. And I hope he takes a victory lap and commits to making Memphis the safest city in America.
It's really remarkable. And, of course, his sons, very involved at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and they actually have a lot of friends here in the Memphis area.
They do, and you know, St. Jude is really a jewel here for Memphis, and a couple of years ago, that research doctor was shot in downtown Memphis, and St. Jude finally started beating the drum of saying, we love Memphis, we love being here, but we can't stay here when we cannot attract talent because Memphis is too dangerous to get the doctors here. And so that woke a lot of people up, and I'm telling you, Todd, you know, I live in Memphis. I own a home in Memphis. I'm investing in Memphis. I love Memphis. And it had gotten really, really discouraging in 2023 and 2024. And if you had told me then that the president of the United States would be zeroed in on solving our crime crisis, I would not have believed you. It's so encouraging. And so we just thank President Trump for his willingness to do so.
Earlier, we talked about what happened to Sarah Huckabee Sanders right across the Mississippi River in Arkansas, being told to leave a restaurant because her political views were triggering to the staff. It's just, it's really shocking that this kind of stuff goes on.
It's so annoying. I mean, come on. You know, Ann Coulter likes to say you're no longer discriminated against when you move into a neighborhood and the home values around you go up. And that's how it is with the gays. People, when they move into a neighborhood, they clean up the house, they redo the landscaping, and the values go up. People welcome them with open arms. Just stop being annoying. You're no longer discriminated against.
And they
just stop it.
Yeah, these servers, you know, they go on, they don't understand that they could end up being on the unemployment line.
Yeah.
I mean, they're stupid.
It's totally stupid. And can you imagine if a gay couple went into a restaurant to get some croissants and the staff said, oh no, we don't like gay people, please leave. It would be a national news story. And yet the mainstream media has no interest in this. So thanks for bringing it to light. It's so frustrating and annoying. It just gives gays around the country who are no longer discriminated against a bad name.
Yeah, I just don't get that at all. We've been following a lot of weird news coming out of Washington. If I were a betting man, I would say that Tulsi Gabbard is probably a short-termer in the administration. I just by what I've been hearing and what I've been observing. But this Joe Kent guy, now we know that apparently he was under FBI investigation for leaking classified intelligence documents, got wind of it, resigned, and then immediately shows up on Tucker Carlson's show. And they are clearly, as a matter of fact, Dylan, let's play that other piece of audio. This was cut number 18.
Was Iran on the verge of getting a nuclear weapon?
No, they weren't, you know, 3 weeks ago when this started, and they weren't in June either. I mean, the Iranians have had a religious ruling, a fatwa, against actually developing a nuclear weapon since 2004. That's been in place since 2004. That's available in the public sphere. But then also we had no intelligence to indicate that that fatwa was being disobeyed or it was on the cusp of being lifted. The Iranian strategy, it's actually pretty pragmatic. The Iranians are obviously aware of what's taking place in their region. And their strategy was to not completely abandon their nuclear program because they saw what happened to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya when he said, hey, I've got no more nukes. I'll do what you say. I'll give up my nukes.
And we gave him the Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, we regime changed him, and he was, you know, executed by his own people in the most horrific way.
Oh, sodomized by a bayonet. Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. That's the lesson, I think, that the entire region took from that when Hillary Clinton.
Unfortunately, that is what the neocon, neoliberal warmongers, that's the lesson that they showed everyone in the region. And then conversely, the Iranians also knew that if they came out and said, okay, we've got a nuke, whether they were bluffing or not, Saddam Hussein, Iraq right next door. So they kind of had
this. And he hung, I think.
He was hung by his own people, you know, after a bloody, you know, war that's still essentially going on inside of Iraq. So the Iranians' position, when viewed from the lens of the region, was actually fairly pragmatic. They were preventing, you know, themselves from developing a bomb, but they still wanted the ability. They wanted the ability to enrich. They wanted the ability to have some components so that they weren't completely stripped of it. And we always assessed that they were either several months or a year, 2 years away from actually being able to develop a nuclear weapon. And that's not because the Iranians are stupid people. I think we can tell right now that the Iranians are anything but stupid. They had the ability, I think, that the brain power to actually develop one, or they could have simply traded a ton of oil with Pakistan or with someone else to actually get a nuclear weapon. They were not doing that. We had no intelligence to indicate that they were.
So Joe Kent here is now basically saying President Trump lied to the nation.
Well, look, I hope that's not true. Joe Kent came to prominence running for Congress out on the West Coast. He ran a pretty good campaign, lost, ran again, lost, and he was given an opportunity in the Trump administration. And, you know, that I was talking to a friend last night. I don't know how I feel about this Iranian situation. I do trust President Trump. I do think that the administration has to be more than forthcoming about the intelligence that they had to convince the American people that this is a good idea. And I think we have to accomplish whatever we need to accomplish and get out. I do think that is President Trump's goal. He doesn't want to have a war there. He wants to accomplish what he needs to accomplish and get out. But there is something gross to me about Joe Kent leaving the administration, trying to generate as much media buzz as possible, going out on these podcasts, not really, you know, he was not really asked super difficult questions, and there wasn't a ton of pushback. I would be fine maybe with an interview where there's a intense back and forth, but it just seems gross to me to be given an opportunity to work in the administration, and then you leave and just try to get a lot of attention for yourself.
It's unseemly. There's something else going on here. Of course, within the administration, you've got a battle, really, between, say, Tucker Carlson, J.D. Vance, Tucker Carlson. Tucker's son works for J.D. Vance. So you've got the vice president's office, I think, going to war with Marco Rubio on that crowd. And that's where the dividing line is. And you've got a lot of Tucker supporters and J.D. Vance supporters. I think Don Jr. is, of course, they're good friends with. So I don't know if we're looking at a political divide, if we're looking at an age divide, but I don't think it looks good, you know, as we start looking beyond 2026 to 2028.
Yeah, this is not good. And I do not think, regardless of whether somebody thinks that going into Iran was a good idea, and I think that's still up for debate, and it may be very, very successful, and I hope that it is. I don't know that the populace, I don't know, is buying into it, and I know that, you know, Fox News was pushing some polls yesterday showing that the MAGA base overwhelmingly supports it.
Yeah.
I'll just say, amongst my friend group that I do consider MAGA, it's really split. And we need to have these conversations right now. I don't know that the way that Joe Kent is going about it, though, it seems a little gross to me.
We've got 2,500 Marines over there. You don't send the Marines unless you're planning on putting them on the ground.
Right.
There's some reporting, scattered reporting, that we may be calling up thousands more troops. If that happens, how does this play out in the MAGA base if we end up having to physically invade Iran?
I just don't think it's a good thing. And Trump ran on three things: build the wall, which was also end immigrate, you know, slow down immigration, end immigration, bring jobs, foreign jobs, bring manufacturing back home. And then the third thing was no more foreign wars. That was a huge tenet of the platform. And he must show us that this is not a foreign war that we are going to be in for a long time. And this is really going to, if this is still going on with the midterms, it's not going to be a good situation. So I hope I hope that this is a weeks-long thing and we accomplish the mission and get out, and Trump is very victorious.
We've got our my Newsmax reporter out on the West Coast. He's going to be doing a live report tonight at 5 o'clock. He'll be in front of a gas station where I think gas prices are $8-$9 a gallon. Oh. We're talking about for regular unleaded gasoline.
Oh, it's up a dollar. I filled up the other day. It was up a dollar within a week or two, and it's still going higher. It's the kitchen table issues, and I'm not convinced, Todd, that Iran is a kitchen table issue. It feels like, you know, like my grandparents who have Fox News on all day every day. It feels to me like they're really interested and invested in this, but I don't know that the everyday average person who, you know, has four kids at home and is trying to make it by is really in tune with what's happening in Iran, or that they care. Now, look, if Iran did have access to a nuclear weapon or was close, we definitely needed something to do about it, and we need to see that intelligence.
I will say, again, Tulsi Gabbard completely opposed to all of this.
Yes.
You know, she was against it. And she actually contradicted the president yesterday in her testimony. President said that Iran had been obliterated. And Tulsi Gabbard said, no, that was not accurate. That, well, she didn't, she used different terminology, but clearly Iran was hit hard, but they have not been obliterated.
Right. I don't think they're obliterated. They have not had an election to restore a republic or restore democracy there. I don't think we're not done yet. And so, again, I think we need to emphasize this needs to be done as quickly as possible so that we complete. We had such an amazing turn of the narrative after the State of the Union, and we were winning, and then this Iran thing happened. And Todd, I don't think that we're winning right now.
And that's a scary thing to think about, because
yep.
We've got everything on the line here.
Yep.
And I'm just going to say this. I think you've got Republicans that are fractured all over the country.
From the local level.
Local up.
All the way up. And we need, you know, the Republican Party largely had no relevance before Donald Trump. We were after that Mitt Romney lost. What was the Republican Party? What did the Republican Party stand for? And there is still that battle of the old guard versus the new guard. And it's happening even here in Memphis. And you see it. And this foreign skirmish, I really don't think helps things.
I mean, when you think about it, and it's I don't want to go down this path, but the reality is, I think a lot of folks, establishment Republicans, see this as an opportunity to take their party back from the populist and
yes.
the evangelicals who were somewhat decimated in the party platform fights
yes.
Back in 2024. So I think this is the opportunity they see of going back to the way the party used to be before Ronald Reagan, which was, you know, the Gerald Ford, more establishment types.
Yes, and you're even seeing this in the podcast space with all these new podcasters who suddenly have a voice and a little bit of a following. And what I want to encourage people is listen to the voices that have been saying the same things forever. Todd, you're an example of that. Who are the commentators, the radio hosts, the TV pundits who have been saying the same thing all the way back to the early 2000s and are staying consistent? And listen to those folks. A lot of these new people, I feel like, are just grabbing whatever headline they want to grab that they think will get them more followers. And it's not a good thing. And I think we're seeing so much fracturing right now amongst the MAGA base, and I really, really hope that we solve this quickly to get back to focusing on the enemy, and that's the radical left.
That's it. All right, Luke Symbol, always good seeing you.
Good to see you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, this is a weird story and somewhat disturbing story out of the Washington Post. There is a military base right outside of Washington, D.C. This is Fort McNair. And this is where they're housing a lot of the White House cabinet secretaries. Here's something you don't hear a lot of in the media. These guys are getting constant death threats, and not just from Americans, but from foreign sources as well. So Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and among others actually live on the military base, the Army base there in Washington, D.C. This is coming from the Washington Post. U.S. officials detected unidentified drones above the Army base. This is according to three people briefed on the situation. Officials have not determined where they came from. The military is monitoring potential threats more closely because of the heightened alert level as the United States and Israel strike Iran. Multiple drones were spotted over Fort McNair on a single night in the last 10 days. It prompted increased security measures and a meeting at the White House to discuss how to respond. The drone sightings in Washington come as the U.S. issued a global security alert for overseas diplomatic posts and locked down several domestic bases because of threats. This week, Joint Base McGuire-Dix Lakehurst in New Jersey locked down. MacDill Air Force Base in Florida raised their force protection level to Charlie, a designation that means the commander has intel indicating an attack or danger is possible. The only higher alert level is Delta for when an attack has occurred or is anticipated. The drones over Fort McNair prompted officials to weigh relocating Secretary Rubio and Hegseth. The senior administration official says the secretaries have not moved. Their quarters on the base were publicly reported by multiple outlets in October. Also, the Pentagon is refusing to comment on the matter. And I get that. I don't blame them. They're trying to figure out what the heck is going on. But this is disturbing because we do know that the Iranians have access to these drones. They've got sleeper cells here in America. And maybe, just maybe, they're trying things out here to see exactly how close they can get to the military base. But that is a crazy story. Also, you folks in Memphis listening to us on KWAM, we just got word that there is some sort of a suspicious device at the airport, and they have shut down a lot of the roadways, at least inbound, into the airport terminal. So some sort of a suspicious item. Now, this is a big deal because Memphis International is a major air hub with FedEx, the world headquarters here. So you have a lot of air travel, a lot of air traffic in and out of Memphis. But airport police have at least temporarily closed the inbound terminal road so they can figure out whatever this suspicious item is. This is just, again, a reminder that there are a lot of bad people in this world that want to do us harm. So we'll keep you updated, and you folks in Memphis listen to KWAM, and they'll keep you updated as well. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to tell you all about Afro Man.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. We've been waiting to talk about this story all afternoon. So there's a guy named Afro Man. He is a rapper from Ohio. You know, it's interesting, Dylan. The guy actually has been nominated for a Grammy.
Wow. I'm not surprised based off of what I've heard so far.
He's very clever with the words. Many of them were not allowed to repeat on the radio.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, but they're very catchy tunes. So Afro Man lives in Ohio. His real name is Joseph Foreman, and he got himself into, well, a little bit of trouble. And I want to set this story up as best I can because it's so darn funny, but it's also, there's really a lesson for all of us to learn here. So according to the complaint, four deputies were acting on a search warrant when they raided Mr. Foreman's residence in Winchester, Ohio. All of this happened back in 2022. Now, the warrant, this is pretty serious stuff, was for kidnapping and drug trafficking. Those were the reasons that they gave the judge for the search. But it turns out that he didn't have any drugs and he didn't kidnap anybody. And Mr. Foreman was not at home when the police raided his house, but they have a security camera. You know, a lot of houses have security cameras these days. By the way, the battery in ours needs to be replaced, just FYI. So the guy had this security camera. His wife had her cell phone, and she was there, and she recorded the faces and the bodies of the police officers while they were on the property. They literally broke and destroyed the guy's gate, and then they broke the front door down. It was terrible. So anyway, it turns out that it was all for nothing because there was nothing there, there were no charges filed, and the police just went on their way. So Afro Man is saying, hey, well, wait a second. You people broke into my home. You caused all this damage and destruction. You're going to have to pay for this. And the police department refused to do so. They said they were under no obligation to repair any of the damage they had caused during this search. So Afro Man, you know, sat down, and the guy, he's an entertainer, he's an entrepreneur, and he thought to himself, you know, I got to figure out a way to, they're not going to reimburse me, I got to pay for all this damage. So he decided to write some songs based on the video footage of the police officers breaking into his home. And it was pretty spectacular. As a matter of fact, there was one of the officers who, a little on the heavy side, and I guess as they were walking into the kitchen, and all this is on video, so they're walking into the kitchen. Afro Man's mother is a renowned baker, and she made a delicious lemon pound cake. Mmm, tasty. The lemon pound cake was on the counter, and as the deputies are searching the home, the big fat deputy walks past the lemon pound cake, and then apparently catches a whiff of the cake because he turns around and stares at the pound cake. That led Afro Man to write a song, and he produced a music video featuring the images I just described to you to a song that he wrote himself. Take a listen to Lemon Pound Cake.
The Adams County Sheriff kicked down my door. Then I heard the glass break. They found no kidnapping victims, just some lemon pound cake. Mama's lemon pound cake. It tastes so nice. It made the sheriff wanna put down his gun. Cut him a slice.
Of what?
Lemon pound cake. He wanna put down his glide.
Lemon pound cake.
Trending on TikTok.
Lemon pound cake.
He's a family guy.
Lemon pound cake.
Got the munchies because he got hot.
Lemon pound cake. Pound cake.
He's a Adams County sheriff. He's hungry and he's big as hell.
He's a fat one. A big one.
He was sniffing for weed. Then he smelled another smell.
What was that?
Mama's lemon pound cake. It tastes so nice. It made the sheriff want to put down his gun. Cut him a slice.
Of what?
Lemon pound cake. He wanna put down his glide.
Lemon pound cake.
Trending on TikTok.
Lemon pound cake.
He's a family guy.
Lemon pound cake.
Got the munchies because he got high.
Lemon pound cake.
Pound cake.
He sees my cape and my porno mag call boom boom.
Okay, we probably better ramp it up there. But you get the gist of it. So he also wrote another song called Will You Help Me Repair My Door? And it turns out, though, that the Pound Cake song, I guess, got almost five and a half million views on TikTok, Dylan. And he started selling all this merch featuring the faces of all these deputies that caused all this damage to his home.
I love this guy. He's so descriptive. His songs are just exactly what happened.
He looks just like Cedric the Entertainer, has but he's got like a giant fro, and he's wearing a patriotic suit, like with American flags all over it.
Every single piece of the suit is an American flag.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Brilliant. So I think this is hilarious. Well, it turns out that the officers did not think it was hilarious, and they filed a lawsuit against this guy. This is what was so insane about all of this, Dylan, is that these officers caused all the damage. They refused to repair the damage. And so when this guy goes out there and uses the video from his own cameras and tries to make money to repair the damage, they haul his butt to court. Now, let's see here. All right, cut number 23, please. This is, the lawyer suing Afro Man, and you're going to be able to hear Afro Man's speaking voice.
What they did, searching your house, gave you the right to do everything you
did. Under the circumstance that I got freedom of speech, after they run around my house with guns and kick down my door, I got the right to kick a can in my backyard, use my freedom of speech, turn my bad times into a good time. Yes, I do. And I think I'm a sport for doing so, because I don't go to their house, kick down their doors, flip them off on their surveillance cameras, then try to play the victim and sue them.
You were at Lisa Phillips's deposition, correct?
Yes, sir.
In your lawyer's office?
Yes, sir.
Same office where you filmed part of that video last Friday?
Yes, sir.
And you saw how upset she was when she was answering your lawyer's questions about how this had affected her, right?
Yes, yes.
And you saw your attorney say, do we need to take a break?
Yes.
And you saw her say, no, let's go on and get this over with.
Yes, sir.
You saw all that.
Yes.
You knew she was upset.
Just like she knew I was upset when she was standing in front of my kids with an AR-15 with her hand around the trigger ready to shoot me. Just like she knew I was upset when she cut my cameras. But I'm not a person. She is. So I'm sorry for being a victim. Let's talk about the predators.
Okay. So you saw all that. You saw how upset she was. You heard the testimony about her children. You heard the testimony at the depositions about Randy Newland's daughter who came home upset. You heard all that, but you're still posting stuff about
it. Yeah, because I understand it was Randy's fault and all of their fault for coming in my house in the first place. So if they hadn't came to my house, their children wouldn't be saying nothing. None of this would be going home if they had did their research and did things right. So all of this is their fault, and now they want to sue me for their mistake.
Is there anything that could change your mind about what you're doing to these deputies?
Is there anything that can change my mind about the fact that they shouldn't have been at my house in the first place? Is there anything that can change my mind about how my money shouldn't have been touched in the first place? No.
That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah. So the allegation is that they also confiscated like thousands of dollars in cash. And then when he got it back, he was missing $400. He was $400 short. So the cops ended up saying, oh, by the way, so they're calling the fat cop now Lemon Pound Cake. So the guy's out on patrol and they're like, hey, it's Lemon Pound Cake. And it turns out, Dylan, they interviewed the guy. He was on the witness stand, Lemon Pound Cake. And he said, the guy said, they're sending me hundreds of pound cakes. Hundreds of pound cakes.
Wow.
What was the other song? The other song you wrote, there's a female deputy and wrote a song about how she's a lesbian.
Essentially.
Pretty much.
You can't
much.
Even say the title of the song.
No, you can't say the title. But it's very clever play on words.
Very funny.
I'm sorry. So anyway, this is all going to court. And it's like they made them. This was what the funniest part is. They played all of the music videos in the court. So all of these deputies had to be like re-triggered by all of this. So the deputies were suing. And they said that Afro Man caused them humiliation in the music videos. And they wanted money for mental distress. And the verdict came out yesterday afternoon. And I'm not going to tell you I'm going to let you guess what the verdict was. And this is Afro Man immediately after the verdict was rendered.
Yeah, we did it, America. Yeah, we did it. Freedom of speech. Right on, right on. Yeah, God bless America. Yeah, power to the people. Yeah, 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 yeah.
He was pretty fired up. This small Ohio town, can you imagine? So now all these people are going to be, I guess they're going to live in infamy, but it turns out that some of these cops turned out to be really bad dudes. And we're not going to get into that side of the story. But again, the idea here that cops could just smash into your home, tear up your house, and like, oh, oops, our bad. And then you don't get any recourse. And then the cops turn around and sue you. I say good for Afro Man.
This is the biggest win that we've ever seen, I think.
Wow.
This is better than March Madness. This is better than anything.
He's got a lovely singing voice. They're kind of like Isaac Hayes.
Very
a
good
bit.
Vibrato.
Yeah, it's very good.
It is nice.
Anyway, he's literally gone viral. You got to go watch the pound cake video. It is so funny. Lemon pound cake. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So we're going a bit viral. NBC News, The Hill, Mediaite, The New York Times. I told you, folks, a lot of people listen to this program. And I know that it's a lot of people think, no, it's just radio. No, no, in all seriousness. So anyway, yesterday we have Michelle Tafoya on, former ESPN sideline reporter. Now she's running for the U.S. Senate in Minnesota. And I brought up the gas prices and, you know, gas prices are going up. How did she, you know, how do you respond to that? What do you tell Americans who are really frustrated? What is it, $8 a gallon right now in Los Angeles? Insane. And she said that it's frustrating. But she said that all of you MAGA people just kind of need to keep a stiff upper lip. And maybe you take one less trip to Starbucks so that gas goes a little further until this thing is over and these gas prices come back down again. So, and then she said, you know, let's try to be patriots about this. So it's your patriotic duty to set aside the Starbucks so you have money to buy gasoline. And it's getting a lot of play out there. I'm not sure that's going the way she necessarily, you know, thought that was going to go. But there you go. 901-260-5926. Let me ask you a question about that, though. Let's just say, for the sake of the argument here, let's just say it's May or June. Gas prices are still very high. We actually have boots on the ground in Iraq. Prices are not going down. Does that impact whether or not you vote in the midterm elections? You know, a lot of the midterms is which party is more motivated to get their people out to the polls. Would that be a motivating factor for the Democrats or conservatives, Republicans? Would you still be willing to go to the polls? Because right now, this, and I've been getting a lot of hate mail lately. And the hate mail goes something like this. Todd, you're a panican. Everybody knows Republicans don't vote in primaries. Well, why not? Why don't Republicans vote in primaries? Maybe that's one of the reasons why we have crap candidates in the general. Maybe if we... And everybody's saying, calm down, calm down. Everybody's going to get out there, and they're going to go and vote in the midterms in November. But we Republicans just don't do primaries. I'm not buying that argument. I'm not. I think that the Republicans right now have a mojo issue. We've lost the Big Mo, by the way. We got to get the Big Mo back. The question is, though, there may be circumstances involved here where we can't get the Big Mo back. I mean, you heard Luke Symbol, who is a millennial Republican. You heard him say that a lot of people within his age group, they're just really not sold on this war right now. And if you put boots on the ground, I mean, it's one thing if you're flying jets and doing all, it's one thing if that's the war. But if we're talking about putting literal boots on the ground, I think you're going to have a lot of people on the Republican side of the aisle running away from the president. And I hope that doesn't happen. But it may be in a situation where there's no other way. On that note, Fox News's Trey Langst, he's their guy out there in Tel Aviv. He says this war is far from over. That they're still getting shellacked over there. So anyway, just something to consider as we go along here. And we got to start paying attention to these things, folks. Got to start paying attention. All right, I want to remind you, ToddStearns.com. Go and check out all the great resources we have for you there, including our free newsletter, our free podcast, and you can download our free app. It doesn't get much better than that. A lot of free resources for you. Also, I want you to read that story about Sarah Huckabee Sanders and what happened to her in that Little Rock Cafe. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Well, earlier this week, Senator Tommy Tuberville and I sort of caused a few viral moments on the TV. The senator has been very outspoken about the threat that radical Islam poses to the United States of America. And, I mean, what he's saying is absolutely true. There is a headline that was just posted moments ago in the Washington Post. Republicans are ramping up attacks on Muslims and getting rewarded. And there's a big photograph of Senator Tuberville, who happens to be on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, good to have you back with us today.
Wait a minute, Todd. I hadn't seen that. Were you next to me in that picture?
No, you were solo in an elevator.
Oh, my goodness. You know, at least people are starting to hear, Todd. And that is my main objective, is to wake people up. They got to wake up to what's going on in this country. We have the greatest country ever for the simple fact that we have one set of laws. We have moral values. We were built on Judeo-Christian values. And we're not going to let somebody from a third world country come in here and change it all. I mean, we can't let it do that. And they are 5 million strong, building mosque after mosque all over the country, and it is only a short period of time where we look like Europe, which, by the way, Europe, to get their countries back, they're going to have to fight in the streets. And we don't want our kids and grandkids to have to do that.
No, we don't. As a matter of fact, earlier on in the show, we had Dr. John Lott with us, and he's written a really terrific piece in Real Clear Politics talking about this very threat, and he actually ran the numbers, because Biden and the former FBI director, Chris Wray, they said that white supremacists were the primary domestic threat. But according to John Lott, they looked at the numbers, and it was very clear that people from the Middle East now living in America are the greater threat to the nation.
Oh, there's no doubt. And, you know, we've always had our problems here, but we've worked those differences out, and no matter who they are, the differences we've had in this country is people still love the country. They love it. They love the way it's run. They love our religious beliefs, or, you know, God and the Constitution. But this group totally does not want appeasement. They don't want anything to do with America. They want to bring America to their level. And again, we're not going to do that. You know, the Quran, you read it and it's clear. They command all infidels which are included Christian Americans, be attacked, be killed. I mean, it's bottom line. I mean, it's in black and white, and we cannot allow people to preach this on the streets of this country, because what do we have? We have a bunch of kids that are all confused right now in a lot of different ways. Boy, they'd suck this into their brain in a heartbeat, because I don't know whether a lot of these kids really like our country after coming out of some of our institutions, educational institutions, especially in the Northeast. I don't know where they stand, but we cannot allow this to also take effect, because it'd be a tough road for all of us to hoe if we continue to let this happen.
It's really alarming when I see what's happening, especially in the United Kingdom, where the Islamists are just completely taking over, and it's just really shocking to see how quickly British tradition is falling, and I don't want that to happen here. I know you don't want that to happen here. What steps do you recommend we taking? I know Congressman Andy Ogles wants to deport all Muslims. I don't see that happening. Or, you know, where do you start here to address the issue?
Well, first of all, we ban Sharia law. And anybody that's elected in this country should not be even close to the Quran or Sharia law, because it preaches death to Americans. I mean, what kind of idiot would in this country would vote for somebody to be in Congress or the Senate or a school board or anything that has to do with authority if they believe that they're not going to assimilate at all? Now, let's go back to what you said earlier. I'm not against Muslim. I've got friends that are Muslim, but some of them are Christian. Some of them are atheists. They don't believe, some of them don't believe in anything, but they damn sure don't believe in studying and teaching Sharia law and going by the Quran. They love this country. And so that's what I'm talking about. This is not against Muslims. This is about people that want to destroy the United States of America like they have destroyed Europe. And we can't allow that to happen, so we need to wake the heck up.
Senator Tommy Tuberville on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Senator, when you look at what's happening in Iran right now, there's a lot of chatter about this 19-year-old champion wrestler executed by Iran in a public hanging. He was executed because he showed opposition to the Ayatollah. I mean, this really does define the evil that we are dealing with over there.
Yeah, and that's the same people that are here now. I mean, they believe in the same thing. You know, Sharia law, they believe in the Quran, they believe in, you know, if you're an infidel, somebody that doesn't believe in the Muslim faith, you should die. And, of course, they took it that this kid was against whoever, Khomeini or whatever his name is, and they put him to death. And that's one of the reasons that President Trump said enough's enough after they killed about 30 to 35,000 of their own people. And President Trump says, no, we're not going to allow this to happen anymore. We're going in, we're going to help the Iranian people. And everybody's kind of wondering now. I spent all day yesterday with President Trump going to Delaware to bringing back the young men and women that died in the airplane crash over in Iraq. And basically he understands it too. He understands that, hey, this is our only chance. If we're going to get this over with, and if we're going to knock out terrorism, the lifeblood of terrorism, which is Iran, this is our time. This is the only time, Todd, you and I, President Trump, and everybody our age, and a lot even younger than us, are going to have a chance to put a stop to this nonsense. And so, well, you know, we believe in America first. And we believe in the sanctity of life. We believe in God. We believe in our country. But if we can and need to help other people, we're doing it. And that's what President Trump's doing in Iran.
Senator, I know a lot of people trying to get down to the beautiful Redneck Riviera along the Gulf of America for spring break, and most of them are stuck in Atlanta right now. The lines are just insane, and the Democrats, I hope Republicans are doing ad campaigns and reminding all these spring breakers who's responsible for their misery right now.
Yeah, and don't think we're not reminding them. And I want to say this. You know, we've talked to some Democrats on the floor, and a lot of them didn't realize that what the White House has come to some concessions about DHS over the last week or so. Chuck Schumer's not even given those concessions to his caucus. They're going, what? We didn't know that happened. Chuck Schumer is behind this nonsense. He is 100% blocking the American people from being safe, having TSA agents, shorter lines at airports, having a Coast Guard that's funded, having FEMA that's funded. It's all on Chuck Schumer. He has lied to his caucus. He has held them hostage. And now they're finding out, well, guess what? In the last few hours, a group of them have gone over to meet with Tom Homan and some congressional group from us. And I think they're working things out. Now, it might not be the next day or so, but like I've told our caucus, we don't need to go home again to this is over with. We need to let the Democrats know this is on you, the American people, and we're going to stay here till we get this fixed. But Chuck Schumer is the one that's behind all this nonsense. He's playing politics, not policy, and we need to get this over with and help the American people. It is absolute nonsense. And you said, this is travel season. This is vacation season. Spring break. What the heck are they trying to prove when they're trying to make everything unsafe and everything that they're trying to do to travel across this country?
It's a great point. Before we let you go, Congressman, can you give us any update on the Save America Act? Is at this point, I think we almost have to be realistic here. Is it really? Is there any chance at all that this thing gets through the Senate?
We're still working at it, but very little chance. Simply for the fact we can't get 51 votes out of the Republicans, much less get the 7 more votes we would need if all the Democrats or Republicans voted for it. Now, we're going to be here all the day today, tonight, all day tomorrow. We're going to stay and vote on Saturday, Sunday. We're going to try to get something done, but it ain't working.
I appreciate the honesty there. And I want to make sure of something. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and they said even if you guys do the talking filibuster to invoke cloture, you still have to have 60 votes. Is that right?
No, you'd have to have 51 votes. We don't have them. It's not there. You know, you've got 4 or 5 that already said they wouldn't vote for it. And so we're really not doing a talking filibuster. We're just trying to put pressure on the Democrats to prove to the American people that they're absolutely against this country the way it is, and they want basically illegals to vote in every election. And you wouldn't do it for any other reason. So as you and I talked about the other day, 90%, 80% of the Republicans across this country want voter ID, 75% or so of the Democrats. It's an issue that everybody almost agrees on, everybody but Chuck Schumer.
That's it.
Absolutely amazing to me. He's holding the country hostage. Chuck Schumer, all he would have to do today is say, all right, let's vote for this. Let's do what's right for the American people. Let's vote for the DHS funding. Let's do what's right for the American people. He is holding the country hostage, and he should be punished for it. He is a crook. He is a guy that absolutely does not like this country. All he likes is power. And enough is enough of this guy. And, you know, he hates President Trump, and I don't know what group he's got behind him, but they're not a good group, and they're not a group that loves this country. He needs to react to the American people and not to the lobbyists that he beholds to.
All right. Well said. Senator, always good talking to you. We got to leave it there, but we sure do appreciate you coming on the show, as always.
Bob, thank you. Have a good weekend. God bless you, and maybe we can get something done in the next few days.
Let's hope so. All right, Senator Tommy Tuberville, everybody on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So we'll keep you updated. But again, I don't want you to get your hopes up, because as you heard the senator, he pretty much said it's not probably going to happen. Just put that out there. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, we have Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne joining us. Also, Kathy Lee Gifford, our good buddy Harry Hurley, will be with us. And there's a story out of Pennsylvania. There was a bus driver who was told he had to remove his MAGA hat. He refused to do so, ended up losing his job. We're going to be talking to that bus driver and his attorney on the show tonight at 5 o'clock. Meanwhile, I've got to talk to you about your Social Security benefits. Are you getting all of the benefits that you deserve? Because 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. That's thanks to the, and by the way, we know that information because of Social Security expert Michael Allen. He says he's come up with 5 key strategies for you to invest your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. And Newsmax wants to give you that report free of charge. All you have to do is give us a call, 800-999-9690. That's 1-800-999-9690. Whether you're getting benefits or you are soon going to get benefits, you need this Social Security report. Again, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. Dylan, a math teacher at a high school in San Francisco, one of the top schools in San Francisco, Lowell High School. Tom Chan, Mr. Chan, math teacher, been at the school for 20 years, has now been placed on leave, accused of fat shaming and misogynistic questions on student test.
What did he say?
Let me put it this way. I understand why fat girls, pardon me, big bone girl, pardon me, well-round, no, that's not good. Full-figured, yeah, plus size. I understand why they would be upset with this, all right? So I get that, so I just want to throw that out there. However, it's a pretty clever way to teach kids how to do math, especially boys.
Okay.
So here is the quiz. The quiz was based on the relationship between a girl's weight and how much it would cost to date her.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Right? But it's very clever. Very clever.
Okay.
So here is the question. It's a word problem. The amount of money you spend on a date varies inversely to how much they weigh. A typical girl that weighs 120 pounds will cost you $55 to date. So here's what you have to do. Derive the variation equation. How much would you expect to pay for a date with Ashley, who is 220 pounds? If you can only afford $5, how much would your date weigh, and what is his or her name?
Wow.
Oh, geez.
That's all I have to say is, wow.
Some of the questions did not appear to have any mathematical component, some parents added. Like, for example, how tall are you and how much do you weigh? Pick one, pretty or smart, and why? Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is getting worse for Mr. Yeah. Chan. Sounds like he just, you know, after 20 years, you're just like, okay, I'm done here.
He gave up. Yeah. Wow.
Beyond the quizzes, Mr. Chan also came under scrutiny for YouTube videos that attempt to make math fun. And by the way, I think this is what he was probably trying to do. But you know, can we just be honest about math teachers in general? You know, they're just their humor, their sense, they're just a smidge off kilter. You know what I mean?
A little too blunt and not, it kind of misses the mark a certain time.
A video titled Grades Versus Dignity showed kids performing dances to earn extra credit to raise their grades. In the most recent video, Mr. Chan wrote in the description, kids need an A, so I provide an out. They're buying grades from him by humiliating themselves, said one parent. The kids look distressed. I don't know. I think it's all somewhat benign, but again, people are very sensitive these days, and what a clever way to make. But again, I get it, ladies. You're shaking your head, Dylan. You're not buying this.
No, this is awful.
Is it that bad?
It's pretty bad. I mean, does he have a question about guys' weight too, or is it just the girls?
No, just the girls.
See, that's tough because you got to be balanced there if you're going to do that kind of question.
I think that's where the misogynistic part comes in.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
The school district said it encouraged students to use the see something, say something reporting system. Oh, God. It does make you want. I'd be curious to hear from the kids. Were the kids really upset about this, or was it the parents? Because you know in San Francisco, all the parents are going to be libs.
Oh, of course.
So you get some sort of, I don't know, feminazi, and she's looking at their daughter's homework assignment.
Yeah. But also, I mean, think about like high school and like the insecurities you have in high school. I can see the high schoolers being pretty upset about that question.
But But again, if you're a high school boy and you've only got a certain amount of money, you want to be able to do the calculations, you know, so you want to do the math.
I can give you that. I can give you that it's a legitimate concern. I just don't know if it should be a question on like a school test.
Something tells me I'm on the wrong side of this story or equation, if you will. All right. Hey, look, 5 o'clock tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. We're going to be back here tomorrow. Open Line Friday, by the way. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll see you tomorrow. Get out there. Be good and safe, everybody.